Look at that crazy old man. Now imagine this. You sit down with your drink of choice at the same cafe, and an elderly man sits at the table next to you. He has a purple balloon. You strike up a conversation with him and ask about the balloon he has tied to his wrist, and he begins to tell you the story of his life. He starts by telling you about this spirited and adventurous girl he met while he was a young boy. They immediately bonded over their lively imaginations. The girl had this abandoned house she turned into her playhouse, where they spent hours and days hatching schemes and playing make-believe. They grew up, they married, and they fixed up the old abandoned house and turned it into their home. They never had children, and they never saved enough to travel the world like they thought. Through it all, they still dreamed of visiting this magical place someday. Each week, they'd save every penny they had for the trip. But something, life and its responsibilities and its bills and needs, always got in their way. With each circumstance, they'd break open their travel savings jar, empty it, and start again. Years passed by, and he talked about how the two grew old together as best friends. He continues to tell you how he finally planned their magical trip to surprise her, so they could take their great adventure. By this time, you're leaning in, engaged in this man's story, and you can't wait for his wife to walk out with her tea so you can meet her. Except he tells you his wife passed away, leaving the old man alone in their big old house. Cue the tear-jerking and lump in your throat. He's now decided to attach as many balloons as possible to his home to lift it off the ground and float it all the way down to their magical place. There, he'll be able to fulfill their lifetime dream and show her he finally made it. And the purple balloon he's holding is the final balloon to achieve his dream and set sail on his adventure. Now, if that purple balloon became untethered from his wrist and he got up to chase after it, what would be your reaction? Wouldn't you think, there's not a chance in hell I'm going to let that balloon get away from him? Why? Because the man and the balloon have emotional context. There's a story attached to them, and now it's attached to you too. If you haven't already figured it out, this is the opening scene to the movie Up by Pixar Entertainment. And the two lovebirds were Carl and Ellie, hoping to get to their dream destination, Paradise Falls. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. Every hero has an origin story. It's a story of how they became who they are today, how their superpowers were bestowed upon them, and what drives them internally to defeat their enemies, the ones in the external world and the ones inside them, and the mission they're on to realize their extraordinary world. As heart-wrenching as the opening of the movie Up is, learning Carl's backstory also sets the stage for the rest of the movie. Now we know why he rigs up his house with thousands of helium balloons to sail away in search of Paradise Falls, finishing the adventure he promised his wife they'd go on together. Learning Carl's story, we now understand what's motivating our curmudgeonly hero, and it draws us in emotionally to his story. We're hooked. We feel for Carl. Why? Because on some level, we see ourselves in him. We know what it feels like to have the responsibilities of life suck us further away from our dreams. We know what it's like to plan and save for tomorrow, only to find out that the tomorrow we dreamed of has disappeared. We know what it's like to have dreams dashed like Carl and Ellie, who never had children and who never took that trip. We know what it's like to have our hearts broken. We know what it's like to feel the tragic sting of despair, only to see a tiny twinkle of light spark a thought that maybe we can turn things around. We cheer for Carl as he musters his courage and gathers his strength and tests his resolve to move the home he built with Ellie to Paradise Falls. We cheer for our hero because his story strikes a chord in us. Let's be frank. In our daily lives, there's just crap we have to deal with. There are frustrations, annoyances, and unforeseen circumstances we get hit with. The enemy feeds off this because it's a perfect opportunity to pull you into the ordinary world, distract you, or make you doubt yourself or hide from your real desires. Your enemy pushes and pulls and will try to steal away the glory found on your field of play. However, Your alter ego can be there to pull you back and lay down a potent defense to the enemy. And your alter ego's origin story is one of the tools we use. So, my question for you is, what is the driving force for your alter ego? What propels your alter ego to stand up to the enemy and to defeat it at every turn? The driving force you seek is usually found in your alter ego's origin story. Just as you've been living out a story, we're going to connect with a new, more dominant story that your alter ego will live out. Find your alter ego through story. I wasn't in the taxi for more than 30 seconds before I received a text message. "Hey Todd, it's Mitch. Great to connect tonight. I'd love to meet with you to see if you could help me make this transition a success." "Of course. Can you do lunch on Wednesday?" "Perfect. Let's meet at my office and we'll order something in." "Sounds good." Mitch and I met in 2011 at a small dinner in New York with four other people. A friend and I take turns hosting small gatherings of interesting people. We invite people from finance, tech, arts, entertainment, charity, business, and of course, sports, to connect people and have great conversation. This dinner happened to be my friend Jason Gaynard's turn to curate the guests. He's a master at it, and even wrote an amazing book on the process. At the dinner, I sat next to Mitch, a man who had built a successful career on Wall Street. We connected over our love of sports, and he grilled me on high performance and the mental game. I could tell his questions were to help him sort out some of the uncertainty and volatility of his new situation. He had recently transitioned out of a role he'd been in for years and was recruited by a large financial company to lead a new business unit. It was demanding a completely new skill set and leadership ability. We ended up exchanging cards and promised to connect again soon. The dinner ended late into the night. We said our goodbyes to new friends, and I walked to the street corner to hail a taxi. That's when the text exchange happened. At our lunch, I walked him through an assessment I do with all new clients, and it was clear that an alter ego might be the tool I'd use to help him. I explained the concept to him. Then I asked him, "Is there anyone that you truly admire and respect for their leadership abilities?" "That's easy. My bubby." I hadn't heard the term before, so I said, "Bubby?" "It's the Jewish term for grandma. My grandmother was incredible, and she's the most inspiring person in my life." Mitch went on to tell me how she grew up in Poland, where she got married and had four children. When World War II broke out, her family was torn apart, her husband and two older boys taken away. Her husband hadn't survived, but by some miracle, after the war ended, she was able to find the two boys who had been separated from her. She ended up bringing them to Canada, then eventually New York City, to meet up with other relatives who had immigrated to the United States. Because of the war, she had virtually nothing except $84 and an iron rod for a spine. She raised her family in a tiny studio apartment in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, worked her ass off, and showered her kids with love, but in a very strict home. My dad would tell me stories of the old country ladle, one of the few things that made the trip over from Europe, and how she had it hanging between two tiny windows in their apartment and would threaten them with it if they ever got out of line. Nobody wanted that thing to get pulled off the wall, he'd say. He continued, "Grandma raised four incredibly successful children. Two are doctors, one is a real estate developer, and my dad became a university professor." The more he talked about her, the more his entire physiology changed. He beamed, and you could tell he was extremely proud to come from that history. I looked at him and said, "Mitch, we've got your alter ego." I walked him through the entire process we've already been going through, to develop his alter ego, and then finally choose an artifact to represent his alter ego. I'll explain this in the chapter on totems and artifacts. When it came to the name for his alter ego, he never shared it. He knew exactly what it would be, and he wanted to keep it private. But its core superpowers were strength, courage, and conviction. And he used her origin story and his challenges to create a motivation to drive him forward in his new career. Throughout any one of the last few chapters, you may have already discovered and connected with your alter ego's motivation. Having a story deeply rooted in your mind for why you chose or whom or what you chose helps you activate this heroic self. Some people who thought they'd found their alter ego changed it once they found a different alter ego in a more resonant and meaningful story. Again, there's no right or wrong here, just what's right for you. If you're not sure about the identity of your alter ego, then think about the stories of real-life people or fictional characters from television or movies or books or comics. Is there a story you're drawn to? Why? What about that story has grabbed you by the heartstrings or captivated you? If no story comes to mind, try reading about successful people in your chosen space. Biographies and autobiographies are great sources to find someone's story, which may align closely with yours, and boom, there's your alter ego. Most of the time, it's the simplest origin stories that become the most powerful. The origin story fills in the blanks and explains where your alter ego came from. The story explains how it developed its superpowers, why it needs those superpowers, and what they fight against. Without a story, you risk missing the emotional connection to your alter ego. Building and using an alter ego is more than an intellectual exercise. It is about transforming how you perform and show up during your moment of impact. That's the only way you can enter your extraordinary world. The origin story helps you to latch on to the alter ego's identity, immerse yourself in it, and act through it. Remember, this isn't about pretending. That's why the fake it till you make it philosophy has fallen flat for most. This is about embodying it, just as the study of the young children that used Batman or Dora the Explorer had greater results when they truly became them when faced with hard puzzles compared to the children who just pretended. Core drivers. In the field of play model, there's a collection of core drivers that when you identify yourself with them, are deeply motivating and drive you to think, feel, and act in certain ways. They also come layered with a story because they have narratives attached to them and definitions of what it means to be a part of them. In Chapter 3, I outline the core drivers in the first layer that impact your world. The most common, family, community, nation, religion, race, gender, identifiable group like police officers, soldiers, farmers, tribe, idea, or cause. It's anything you connect to that is somehow bigger than you. Some specific origin stories tend to have more emotional resonance than others for a reason. There's a driving force behind these stories, very similar to your mission for creating an alter ego. For instance, when I'm working with Olympic athletes, many origin stories connect to their cultures or nationalities. Some athletes transform their performances knowing they're one of the chosen, selected to represent their country. They're driven to make their country proud. Competing in the Olympics changes the story in some athletes' minds and hearts. When I'm working with Olympic athletes, I'm always looking to see if I need to dial up or sometimes dial down the nationalistic pride. For some people, the story about representing their country causes them to collapse inward. The pressure becomes too great. Sometimes athletes have no care or attachment to their country. Sometimes it's that they want to make their hometown proud, or they want to make their families proud. I worked with a biathlete from a Nordic country a few years back, and it took a few misfires before we found a driving force he connected to. If you're not familiar with this grueling sport, biathletes strap on a pair of skis no wider than 7 centimeters or 2.8 inches and race around flat, uphill, and downhill terrain carrying a rifle on their back. Then they race into a shooting area and within seconds grab their rifle and fire at a target no bigger than 4.6 to 11.4 centimeters or 1.8 to 4.5 inches diameter from a distance of 50 meters. You want something hard? Try it. These athletes are impressive. Back to our biathlete. I thought we'd get him into his flow state by using his country as driving force. I was wrong. The more we talked about his country and experimented with it as a source of motivation, the flatter it fell. It didn't rev his engine. We had to course correct, which we did. Thankfully, by stumbling onto his family story. He came from a long line of biathletes, and during World War II, Many of his family members were used as scouts and spies while traversing the tough Nordic terrain. Some of them died in combat, and others were awarded medals for their bravery. He found his alter ego's driving force in the origin story of his family legacy. It gave my client a tremendous source of pride and meaning to represent his family. And those family members became a tribe of warriors he used as his alter ego to dig deep when the races got hard. That was the heart of his alter ego's origin story. How to create your alter ego's origin story. Aligning with an existing story is one of the easiest paths and the one I usually recommend clients start with. Take your alter ego and find their origin story. I'm sure I don't have to say this, but I'll play Captain Obvious so there are no misunderstandings. Make sure whatever origin story you choose is one that you connect to. If Batman is your alter ego and you're using his origin story, then you'd better be sure you emotionally connect with his backstory. Maybe, just like Batman, you had something traumatizing happen to you when you were younger, and so you resonated with his deep sense of making it right. Or maybe you connect with his sense of honor and the anonymity of good deeds. Or the fact he wears a suit that represents the exact thing he feared the most. I had a client once who used Batman to help her transition from a marketing career into a career in theater. She had avoided the thing she most wanted to do her entire life and would never allow herself to pursue for fear of failing. So just like Batman, she faced the fear and aligned herself with his story to step into an extraordinary world. It was tough at first. Walking away from 14 years of hard work and a successful career felt crazy. But it was crazier never to answer that question of what if. I went from expensive dinners and drinks with friends to staying home and eating noodle soup. But I thought, I'm just going through the preparation stage like Christian Bale's character in Batman Begins. And honestly, I was never happier. But I couldn't have made it happen without my secret identity and showing up at auditions with the confidence of Bruce and Batman. How a single mom found her fire. Maggie is an entrepreneur and a single mom working hard to raise her two kids in London. She found her alter ego through the origin story of an inspiring author and celebrity that mirrored her own struggles. When we started working together, she was terrified of sharing her stuff with the world. She was doing okay, but she wasn't achieving the big bumps in business or making the impact that she wanted. She was taking action, but she was playing it small. Playing small isn't a bad thing if that's your goal and it's enough for you, but it wasn't enough for Maggie. She had a big dream and a big desire to grow her business. She had big ideas for growing her impact and influence, but she wasn't executing or following through on the projects she started. As she was telling me about her personal story, all I could think was, her story sounds similar to J.K. Rowling's, a single mom who could barely rub two pennies together. She wrote her first Harry Potter book in cafes while she and her daughter lived on public assistance. Did she sell her manuscript on its first submission? No way. She heard no 12 times before a publisher took a shot on her. And after all her success with Harry Potter, when she wrote the next series under a pen name, it was rejected. There's no reason you can't be the next J.K. Rowling, I told Maggie. She faced rejection before becoming one of the most revered authors. You can create and ship your content too. Who cares how many times it gets rejected? Because in the end, you'll win. You'll persevere. Because that's who you are. You're a fighter. You never give up. You're fighting to make a better life for your children, and you have something special to share with the world. My words were met with quiet sniffles. I knew I had plucked an emotional chord. Just like in the movie Up, when we feel a resonant emotion in our hearts, we know it. Maggie felt the light of truth, and she saw herself and her own story in Rowling's. Maggie chose J.K. Rowling as her alter ego and merged her origin story with the famous author's, creating a profoundly motivating force to launch her onto her field of play, entrepreneurship. Her alter ego would say, I may go through a lot of rejection because that's just what we all do, but I keep going. I won't quit because I have this thing inside of me that's aching to get out. And I'm going to listen to it. J.K. Rowling's story resonated with Maggie, so Rowling was an easy choice for her alter ego. Did she have to choose Rowling? Nope. She could have chosen a different one, say her grandmother, and then attached Rowling's story to it to create the emotional oomph she needed for the origin story. If you're leveraging the origin story of anyone or anything, be sure you have the emotional connection to it. Television and movies or books can offer you rich, deep, and meaningful origin stories. All you need to do is find the one you connect to and that resonates with you at your core. Creating a killer origin story for your alter ego is about knowing what will fuel its ascent. Marianne, who co-owns the auto repair shop with her husband, found that her alter ego story is largely driven by her desire to show women that they can succeed in male-dominated environments and industries. Her story began when she and her husband started to join business and trade associations and began attending events. I would go to these events and I was maybe one of three, often two women in the room out of 250 people. I remember thinking at first, wow, this could feel intimidating. Never content to remain a wallflower, observing the field of play from afar, Marianne gathered her courage and started introducing herself to the men and striking up conversations with them. I had to speak up because the men thought I was just there helping and supporting my husband in his business. They didn't realize we were equal partners. Recently, Marianne pivoted from just that auto repair shop to open a consulting practice to help small business shops grow their business and better serve customers. I wanted to be an example to other women, Marianne told me, because I knew that there were women in the industry who needed support and to be validated. I wanted other women to see me up there and out there so they could then see themselves out there and up there too, and they would realize they had something valuable to offer their industries and communities. Every alter ego has a driving force. Look deep within to find yours. What big mission do you feel your alter ego is called to undertake? It may not be serving a large community. It may be smaller, like your family. It may also be personal. Joanne uses a mix of stories from her life and from the people in her life, like her father and her grandfather, to create something uniquely hers. Joanne came from a very working class background in Manchester, England. Her father came from a moneyed family, her mom from working class roots. When her father married her mother, his family disowned him. Thrust out of his own tribe, he was forced to make his way in the world. At times, this meant Joanne and her two brothers grew up quite poor. I'm never going to be poor, Joanne says. The I'm never going to be poor is the driving force in her alter ego's origin story. Or at least, that's what she thought until we discussed it further. She credits her alter ego with helping to pull her out of her tribe and giving her the confidence and courage to go create a new one. I'm the only girl out of all my male cousins. I was the only one who didn't go to a good school. It was deemed that as a girl, you purely were there to clean the house, cook, pour tea. You didn't get a good education. So I went out and got my own education. When you hear that story, do you think it was really about never being poor? I didn't, so I challenged her on it. I said, Joanne, everything about what you just told me sounded like it was more about showing the family that abandoned your family that you could make it. Yeah, you didn't want to be poor, but I feel like it was a lot more about honor, honoring your mom and dad, and showing the other side of the family they can't put their boot on your dreams. Through a few tears and a lump in her throat, she shot back, you're goddamn right it was. That's the kind of emotion I want you to have. Your alter ego can be for something or against something or both. Joanne was for her family and against the treatment her father and mother received. And it's hard to argue with Joanne's success. She's a tremendous fighter. Are you inspired by an animal? Like Julia, you may have chosen an animal as your alter ego, and maybe wondering how you can build out its origin story. Focus on the traits the animal represents that pulled you in. What does a turtle represent to you? What does an eagle, a panther, or a python mean to you? You can look to stories from indigenous peoples in which animals and nature were symbolic. So there may be cultural stories about an animal. I work with a client from the Cayman Islands, and his alter ego is the sea turtle. It's not vicious, but it goes off on adventures into the depths of the sea and it survives for a long time. Some sea turtle species live 150 years or more. To my client, the sea turtle is wise, fearless, and respected. In this instance, the origin story was rooted in both where he was from and an animal that personified the qualities he wanted on his field of play, corporate sales. He named his alter ego Tortuga. In the beginning, he simply tapped into the traits he admired, but over time he created an origin story for Tortuga. It was my way of connecting to this wise, calm, and fearless self and honor it when I was out doing my thing. If you've chosen an animal as your alter ego, try searching for stories and watch documentaries on the animal. The more you know, the more you can tap into its supernatural abilities. Research what experts have written. Watch any interviews they've given or speeches they've delivered. Often their passion is infectious. If you've never seen the Irwin family from Australia talk about animals, you're missing out. They can convince you that anything is truly amazing. Heck, even children's books can be a great source of characters or animals with empowering, inspiring, and meaningful origin stories. Your alter ego's origin story doesn't have to be a novel or epic poem. A few short sentences will do. Or if words are clumsy for you, that's okay. As long as you can tap into the emotional pull for your alter ego, that's all we care about. It's the same idea we discussed earlier. There are many ways to apply the alter ego effect. So whether you build the alter ego to play with a new idea, you build it to tap into a new creative self, or you build it to help get out of your own way and conquer the hidden forces that have stopped you in the past, the origin story is just another way we help your alter ego come to life. Now that you've built an alter ego, named it, and connected to it with the mission and origin story, it's time to activate it. Chapter 14. Activating your alter ego with a totem or artifact. In 1940, while the world was being pulled into the Second Great War in a generation, the British bulldog Winston Churchill was about to be named Prime Minister of Great Britain. Ever since I was a young kid on our family farm in Canada, I was fascinated with him. There was this incredible mythology about him, and a legend that's lived on for decades because of how he led the British people and Europe through a perilous time. I remember reading in a biography how he would use his hats to evoke a different personality. When he received the telegram that he would be the new prime minister, he was filled with a grave concern he couldn't lead the country during such a difficult time. But as he was getting ready to travel to London to see the king and accept the role, he stood in front of his wall of hats and proclaimed, "Which self should I be today?" In the 2017 movie Darkest Hour, they actually show the moment he grabs his top hat, utters the phrase, and walks out the door. Churchill isn't the only one to use what I call a totem to be more intentional about his performance. Martin Luther King had perfect vision, but he still wore glasses. If you're familiar with this great leader of the civil rights movement, you might be a bit surprised. In some of King's most famous photographs, you can see him wearing glasses, except he wasn't wearing them to see better. He was wearing them because, in his words, "I felt they made me look more distinguished." You can actually find Martin Luther King's glasses on display at Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Here you have two large figures from history, Winston Churchill and Martin Luther King, and they both overcame the challenges they faced by leveraging elements of the alter ego effect. They used the power of the human imagination, and both used the power of a totem to help activate it, something you'll do in this final stage of making the transformation complete. The power of symbolic meaning. Imagine you're a doctor with a traditional white coat on and you slide a stethoscope around your neck. What traits do you associate with a doctor? Poise, respect, care, compassion, intelligence, dedication. Now imagine you walk into an auditorium filled with students taking exams, and you find your desk to sit down and you take your test. How would you feel as the doctor sitting down to take the exam? What would you say to yourself? What type of emotion would be running through your body? What do you notice about other people as they look at you in your white lab coat ready to take the exam. What story are they telling themselves about how you're going to do on the test? Well, it turns out you'd most likely do a lot better on the test. In a study by the Kellogg School of Management, researchers found that it's not just about what you wear, but also whether you understand what its symbolic meaning is. The study looked at the effect of a white coat on students' attention and accuracy. The researchers found that attention did not increase when the coat was not worn or was associated with a painter. Attention only increased when the coat was A, worn, and B, associated with a doctor. The influence of clothes depends on wearing them and their symbolic meaning. So basically, if you thought the coat was a painter's coat, nothing changed. The moment you put on a doctor's coat, your attention and accuracy improved. This phenomenon is called enclothed cognition. Enclothed cognition only happens when you understand the symbolic meaning of the item and the psychological experience of wearing the item, which constantly reminds you of what the item represents. So in the experiment, the symbolic power of the white coat changed depending on what you were told it represents. The painter or artist's smock makes you more artistic. The doctor's coat makes you more attentive. And the lab coat makes you more careful. We wouldn't want you blowing up the lab now, would we? Somewhere tucked within yourself, you have a story about what doctors represent, how they act, what they think, and how they feel. If I told you just to take the traits you identified, poise, compassion, intelligence, and try to bring them to life, it's going to seem more difficult. You'd have to think about it first. Now, the moment I hand you a symbol that represents a doctor, like a stethoscope or a lab coat, you start to enclothe yourself in the traits you've associated with them. Now, when I tell you to act like a doctor, it's much easier to embody their traits and get similar results to whatever you associate with them. I hope you see the ramifications of this and the fun you're about to have. While you've just done a lot of hard work identifying, building, and creating your alter ego, now you're going to find a totem that acts as a symbol to activate your alter ego, just like Winston Churchill, Bo Jackson, David Bowie, Martin Luther King, myself, and thousands of others. The power of symbols, objects, and environments. We live in a world filled with symbols, and the human mind has this fantastic capacity to create a sense of meaning from virtually anything. Any object can hold some meaning, whether it's cultural or intensely personal. Your imagination can create vivid stories around seemingly random items, and you can associate emotions, ideas, stories, and the actions of what that item represents. Because you and I come from different backgrounds, each of these items will mean something different to both of us. A tractor, a baseball, a bald eagle, a police officer's badge, an apron, your country's flag, a book, a pair of glasses, a cape. I could go on. Just take something simple like the pair of glasses. Martin Luther King attributed being more distinguished to them. I use glasses to be more confident, articulate, and decisive. A famous NBA client uses glasses to be more mild-mannered like Clark Kent off the court, and as a shield from the public to protect his personal life. One object, many meanings, for many purposes. Have you ever been around someone when they lost something and they freaked out? To you it seemed like nothing, but to them it meant something. It symbolized something. Heck, if you take the average person today and they lose their smartphone, it's like they've been amputated from the rest of the world. We've all seen people become frantic over a lost phone, right? Well, it's because it represents our relationships, our contacts, our work, and our memories with photos and stored conversations. It represents our security, because what if someone finds it and hacks their way in? It seems there are very few items that carry more meaning than a smartphone today. When I give speeches on the topics of peak performance or the mental game of winning, I talk about the power of symbols. One of my most popular talks featured four mannequins with blankets draped over them. One by one, I would reveal each mannequin to the audience. The first would be wearing a police officer's uniform. I'd turn to the audience and ask, "What does seeing a police officer's uniform mean to you?" Then, one by one, I revealed each mannequin. One would be dressed in an army uniform, one as a doctor, and the last one as Superman or Wonder Woman. After each reveal, I turned to the audience and asked them what each uniform meant. "Shout out your answers in one or two words," I'd instruct. I was met with a hodgepodge of responses. The uniforms symbolized something different to everyone, but oftentimes there would be a consistent theme. As I explained, there were no right or wrong answers. The only right answer was the one each audience member gave. I would then bring someone on stage and ask them to put on one of the uniforms and embody the identity of what that uniform represented. Then I'd ask them how they felt and how they might approach some of the challenges they're currently dealing with. People always responded with something positive, and they felt they could deal with their sales calls, negotiations, husbands, children, or whatever else was going on in their worlds with more confidence. As a fun exercise, I'd get them to show me how they would walk, how they would hold their head, how they'd stand, the looks on their faces. Basically, how they would behave. The audience got a laugh out of it, but the point was to show people how quickly we morph from role to role in our lives. Some powerful shifts would happen on stage. In one instance, a young girl who had been bullied for years walked up to a group of girls she imagined on the right side of the stage while wearing the Wonder Woman outfit and called them out. She even said afterward, "If I went and did that at school, they'd probably hit me, but I wouldn't care because Wonder Woman could handle it." On another occasion, while talking to a group of sales professionals for a large insurance company, a man picked up an imaginary phone and ran through his entire call script perfectly while wearing the army uniform. When we unpacked the experience, he said, "It was like I could suspend all my worries about rejection because there's no damn way a Navy SEAL is going to care about it." He went on to tell us, "I haven't been able to get through that script ever. I forget parts of it because I'm so emotional. Now I know what I'm capable of." It's incredible how quickly we can change our concepts of what's possible when we adopt a new identity. Just as you've already read with previous research, examples, and studies I've outlined throughout the book. And now, with a symbol like a totem, it'll be much easier to slip into your alter ego. The formula for a powerful totem. The totem embodies your alter ego's superpowers, its origin story, and its mission. When that totem is activated, it calls forth your alter ego, just like the white coat changed the students. School was always a challenge for me growing up. Not because I didn't like it, but because reading didn't make sense. I didn't know why, and I sure as heck didn't want to let anyone know I was too stupid to read. It forced me to be creative when teachers handed out reading assignments during class. I'd do my best to make my way through the reading assignment, and before the time was up, I'd start asking some of my friends around me what they thought about the passage. It got me labeled as a class clown, disturber, or talker. But it was my way of preparing myself just in case I was asked questions by the teacher. Back then, when I looked around the classroom at my peers, the smartest kids in my grade wore glasses. Plus, the most intelligent kids in my younger sister's class also wore glasses. Me? I had perfect vision. So I developed this view of the world that smart people had glasses. Is it absolutely true? Of course not, but that was my experience and the meaning I attached to it. I wonder what views of the world you developed at a young age that have possibly shaped your world. The equation in my head was simple. Glasses plus people equals smart. I ultimately found out in my 20s after a car accident when I went in for psychological testing that I was dyslexic. But the belief about smart people wearing glasses had become ingrained in me. When I was trying to launch my first business, I just couldn't close the deals. I knew I had something important to offer people, but I had this massive insecurity about looking like I was 12 years old with my baby face and that people wouldn't respect or listen to me. Finally, a thought popped in my head from my school days. The people that get respected are the people others see as smart. And the smartest people I know have glasses. It was at that moment I found my totem. If I wore glasses, went my thinking, then people would see me as smart and they'd respect me. I also was a huge Superman fan, and Superman wore glasses as Clark Kent. So to me, this made glasses even more powerful. As soon as I felt the wingtips of my glasses brush against my temples, I did my reverse Superman. Superman took off his glasses to become normal. I put on my glasses to get my superpowers. Just wearing that pair of glasses caused me to morph into the most confident, strong, and intelligent version of myself, a version that I knew was respected. Now, did my potential clients actually believe I was smart? Did they actually respect me more than they'd had before? I don't know. I don't care. It didn't matter. Whether anyone associated intelligence and respect with a pair of eyeglasses wasn't the point. I was the one creating and living in my world, and if I felt more intelligent, more respectable, and more decisive, that was the only thing that mattered. Because emotion drives performance. And it worked. Why you need a totem. Most people show up on their field of play without much thought or awareness about who needs to be there to produce an outstanding result. I've said this before, but we're always moving from one field of play to another and from one role to another. Each role requires different traits to perform at our highest level. Since we're unaware we're shifting into and out of roles, we end up bringing the same characteristics to each field. Selecting and activating the totem sets the intention of the specific traits you want to call upon in a particular moment of impact. It's like you're setting an internal compass so that you align your emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. You're being very intentional in tapping into the heroic self you need when you need it. Remember the colonel I met at Fort Bragg when I was there giving a speech? He was struggling with being the kind of father he wanted to be with his kids after coming home in his army uniform. Remember the power of enclosed cognition? His personality didn't change, even after changing into a pair of jeans and a golf shirt. To finish the story, I talked to him more about whom he respected as a parent, the qualities and traits he really wanted, and what he thought would make that field of play extraordinary. He mentioned how much he loved the actor and television host Mike Rowe, a man known for being self-deprecating, approachable, funny, and into doing pretty much anything. After all, he hosts a show called Dirty Jobs, which takes him into the worlds of people doing some of the smelliest, hardest, and filthiest jobs on the planet. I agreed. I love Mike Rowe's personality too. There's something else Mike is known for, wearing a baseball cap. After I explained to the colonel the power of symbols, enclosed cognition, and using a totem to activate his alter ego, his eyes lit up. My dad's self is wearing a cap. The power of a pill. When I initially began working with clients and helping them create an alter ego, I would bring a box of Tic Tacs. I'd have the label already torn off, hand them the container, and say, "Before you go on the field, take one of these little pills and imagine it contains the superpower characteristics you want to activate. But don't just pop it in your mouth. I want you to pause for a moment and really be deliberate about who is going to show up on the field." Fast forward to over 15 years later, and I've given out over 30,000 alter ego X pills to help clients activate their heroic self. The placebo effect of taking a pill with no pharmaceutical qualities has been one of the most effective totems I've seen clients use. The most common response from people, and one someone recently shared, was, "I feel like it works from the inside out, almost like it triggers a hidden power." Even though you may use something as simple as a piece of candy, don't overlook the power of using this activator to trigger your alter ego. If you'd like to learn more about this placebo effect and the Alter Ego X-Pill used by the community, go to alteregoxpill.com. Shift to your physical world. The alter ego is designed to transform your performance. That includes everything from how you physically act and behave, to your thoughts, to your emotions, your beliefs, to your values, your posture to the tone of your voice, and all the way through the layers of the alter ego effect model. Right now, the alter ego that will bring forth all these superpowers and tap into your heroic self is lying dormant and ready to be activated. It's in the realm of your imagination, on the mental and emotional planes. You need something that will call it forth into the physical world and into physical form. That's what the totem does. It gives your alter ego a form and a shape. It's not just an idea floating in your head or an emotion you feel. It's not just some vivid daydream that you distract yourself with in a meeting. Your alter ego is real, and it needs to be grounded in a physical presence. A totem engages more of your senses. You can feel, smell, taste, touch, and see the object, which sparks a visceral feeling. Try this. Imagine walking to the fridge. Open the door, pull out a lemon, and place it on a cutting board. Now pull out a knife and cut a wedge or slice. Bring the lemon slice to your nose. Take a big whiff. What does it smell like? Cut another slice from the lemon. How does the juice feel on your fingers? Now bring a slice to your mouth and take a big bite of it. Did your mouth just water a little? Did you pucker your lips? Now try this. If you have a lemon in the fridge, go and actually grab it and do everything I just had you imagine. See, feel, taste, and smell it. Do you see the difference? Your imagination is undoubtedly powerful, but nothing compares to being able to experience it in the physical world. Your alter ego's totem or artifact is the bridge from your imagination to the physical world. It's the anchor. Having this totem to anchor your alter ego to not only enables the transformation, but it also helps leverage one of the core foundations of habit change. Cary Grant, the famed actor who was born Archie Leach, said, "I pretended to be somebody I wanted to be, and I finally became that person. Or he became me, or we met at some point." This is what the alter ego is designed to help you reach. This place where your heroic self naturally comes forth without having to think about it when you need it. Eventually, that happened to me. At first, I put the glasses on and call myself Richard, until at some point, I didn't need the name or the glasses to feel smart or respected or confident. I just was. I just started showing up that way in all my potential client meetings. It became a habit. I didn't need to intentionally call forth my best traits because my best attributes had become ingrained. I created my new identity on the field of play of business. By no means did this make me perfect. There was and still is work to be done, but it got me past the initial resistance I was struggling with. My goal as a performance coach is to help people get to the place where they consistently perform at their highest level, wherever that may be for someone. To do that, performance has to become a habit. It has to happen just as naturally as you breathe. In the 1970s, Noel Birch created what remains a simplified model to explain the four stages of learning a new skill. It's called the four stages of learning competency. And it starts with someone being unconsciously unskilled. Then you move to consciously unskilled. Next, you become consciously skilled. And finally, you're unconsciously skilled. I like to explain it in a slightly different way that shows the four stages of change we all go through. Stage one, ignorance. You don't know what you don't know. This is what is referred to as unconscious incompetence. This is the classic stage of lack of awareness. Stage two, awareness. You begin to realize that you know you don't know certain things. This is what's known as conscious incompetence. You're aware you don't know how to do something. Stage three, change. This is when you know that you don't know and you make the conscious decision to change. This is what's referred to as conscious competence. This is the hardest stage because it's when the hard work happens, when you start changing habits, attitudes shift, and when you start to create new thought patterns inside your mind. This is where you know what to do and you're doing it, but it's an effort because it's not ingrained yet. Stage 4, mastery. This is when the transformation is complete. It's where things become automatic for you. There isn't as much conscious attention. It's what's known as unconscious competence. You know how to do it, and you don't need to think about it. It's one and the same, and every time you step onto your field of play, every time you face a moment of impact, your heroic self comes forth without thought. Using your totem helps to train you to call forth that heroic self. Over time, you may not even need your totem. The choice is yours. I still like to wear my glasses because I enjoy wearing them, but also as a reminder to you and others that this is a natural part of life and being human. We all have triggers. When I hear the song Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen, I'm transported back to driving on the Trans-Canada Highway in Medicine Hat, Alberta, with my buddy Bill going to a weekend softball tournament. It's as cliched as you can possibly get, but I hear that tune and I immediately get transported to summer in the hat with my best friend. It's the same idea when you put on a ring, wipe your face with a towel, or put on a uniform. Every time you engage with your totem or artifact, you're psychologically calling forth everything your alter ego embodies, from the traits you've selected, to the backstory you've created, to the mission you're on. The three types of totems or artifacts. A totem is merely the thing you're using to represent or connect to your alter ego or field of play. A white lab coat, a uniform, a hat, a pair of glasses, the stage or field itself. It could literally be anything. An artifact is the same thing, except it has some sort of historical significance. If you're using a piece of jewelry that has been handed down for generations, that's an artifact. It has extra juice in it because of the historical connection to your ancestors or your tribe, or your family adds an additional level of significance to you. This isn't something to get caught up in like a spider web. You don't need to sit there wondering if you should get an artifact or a totem. Their purpose is still the same, to activate your alter ego and carry the meaning of what you're doing. For more inspiration, examples, and ready-made totems, go to alteregoeffect.com/totem. A totem or artifact is something you strongly associate with your alter ego, like a stethoscope and a doctor, Thor and his hammer, Wonder Woman and her golden lasso. The totem or artifact you select will be the physical embodiment of all the dominant traits you chose earlier in the book. There are three types of totem or artifacts. One, something you wear. This is the most potent totem you could choose. You can slip it on or off, which, as you'll learn later, is crucial if you start to slide out of acting like your alter ego. This category includes just about everything and anything you can think of. Here are just a few ideas for where you can draw inspiration for your alter ego's totem or artifact. Uniform, jacket, costume, socks, helmet, t-shirt, hat of any type, bandana, eyeglasses, watch, jewelry, like a ring, necklace, bracelet, sweatshirt, pants, wristband or sweatband, shoes, sneakers, heels, slippers, sandals, or a suit. Number two is something you carry with you. Tony, a baseball player, grew up on a farm in Iowa. His family is significant to him. His alter ego is motivated to make his family proud and to bring honor to his family's name. He carries a small pebble from his farm in his pocket, and every time he needs just a bit more juice from his alter ego, he slips his hand into his pocket and rolls the pebble around in his fingertips. John is another example. He has a souped-up artifact. His alter ego is his grandfather, and the artifact is his grandfather's pocket watch. Some people will hold or carry a specific item, like a pen, when they're making sales calls or in an important meeting. Here are other ideas for inspiration. A cup, a coffee, tea, or travel mug. Notebook. Baseball. Rock or pebble. Feather. Picture. An example of your alter ego or something that represents the traits of your alter ego. trading cards, like the ones I stuffed into my football uniform, special coin, pen, or towel. When I was a teenager, I was a nationally ranked badminton player. I had this routine before every match of taking a white towel into the change room and placing it under the water faucet to make it wet. I'd wring it out so it wasn't dripping, fold it into a square about 2 feet each side, then place it on the side of the court. The purpose to everyone else was to go over and place my court shoes on it to get them wet and make them more sticky. But for me, it was my charging station. It's where I could power up my alter ego and return to the court with more energy. As I've said, there are no rules to this. You can always add more dimensions to your alter ego's world, and using an additional totem gave my alter ego more power. Many clients have taken this exact method and used it as well. Remember Mitch, the finance guy taking on a new role? His alter ego was his inspirational grandmother that survived the Holocaust, immigrated to America, and raised 4 successful children. The artifact he used was an old photo of his grandmother from the homeland. He has it sitting on his desk, and whenever he feels like he's lacking confidence or is challenged by a situation, he turns the frame just slightly more toward him to switch on his grandmother's strength. Number 3, something connected to the field of play. As soon as Bo Jackson stepped onto the football field, he transformed into Jason. The field was his totem. For some of my Broadway clients, it's the stage. For one of my writing clients, it's every time he sits down in his writing chair. For a lot of my business clients, it's as soon as they step into the boardroom. Your totem doesn't have to be something that's on you, but it could be on the field of play or the field of play itself. How to choose your totem or artifact. Above all, don't make this into a Halloween costume. Don't pick 8 things and call them all your totems. Pick one. Be selective. There are a few principles I go so far as to say are mandatory. 1, it must symbolize something to you. Whatever you choose will be used to call forth your alter ego and all the superpowers and origin story you've created. It's everything. It's the symbol of your alter ego, so make sure the two connect. What you select may have an indirect connection to your alter ego, like my client who works on Wall Street, whose alter ego is Batman. Now, there's no way he can show up dressed in a Batman suit and still keep his job, but he can get creative. Batman dresses in black, so my client chose a black tie or a black suit as his totem. He'd wear the tie or suit on days when he had to take an important meeting and knew he would need his alter ego. Your totem or artifact may have a direct connection to your alter ego. I know one person who uses a pair of Superman cufflinks. There's a collegiate golfer whose alter ego is Tiger Woods. He has golf head covers striped like a tiger, and he wears a pair of socks with a tiger crest stitched onto them. One of my equestrian clients wears a custom-made bracelet, just like the one Wonder Woman wears. Clients that choose animals or inanimate objects will often select a ring, pendant, earrings, or pretty much anything to invoke their spirit animal. A client who plays professional soccer has an alter ego, the Stealth Bomber. Why? Because I'm hard to find, I'm fast, and by the time you know I'm there, I've blasted a ball into the back of the net. He has special insoles in his shoes with a sticker of a real stealth bomber. Your totem may have no connection to your alter ego either. It could be a universal symbol, or it could hold meaning just for you. A pair of glasses was my totem, but not everyone would associate respect and intelligence with a pair of frames like me. Whatever you choose, be it directly connected to your alter ego or not, just make sure the emotional resonance and meaning are there for you. Number 2. Whatever you choose must be something you can always use on your field of play. No sometimes things. One of my clients chose his physical environment for his totem. He was a hockey player, and as he stepped on the ice, he imagined his alter ego living inside a specific board on his hometown rink. Cool idea, except that it only worked during home games. If you're going to choose something, especially if it's on the field of play, like walking into the boardroom, make sure it's something you can always use. We merely adjusted my client's alter ego to be living on the ice, like Bo Jackson's lived on the field. Instead of picking a specific boardroom, it could be the simple act of walking through the entryway of a boardroom. So the entryway becomes the totem. Number three, it should be something you can quickly take off and put on, or put into your pocket or take out, or step onto or off of. I'm giving you a spoiler here, but there will be times when you slip out of your alter ego, especially when you first start using it. You'll slide back into the old traits and trapped self that used to show up. When this happens, you need a reset. When I wore my glasses, if I started to get pulled into the ordinary world by any of the forces the enemy uses,